My name is Rob Raimondi. I'm a prosthodontist. My office is on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Our group is called One Manhattan Dental. I'm with a few other prosthodontists.
Have you seen any effects of COVID on teeth?
Well, definitely people who have had COVID have had to deal with some extra inflammation. And also with the vaccine, still, the vaccine also gives your body a little extra inflammation. So some people who are not diligent with their home care or who have not kept up with their normal interval of cleaning schedule that works for them, they definitely have had an increase in gum disease. We've also seen secondarily effects of COVID that have had compounding issues in people's mouth. So not COVID directly, right? But let's say stress of being quarantined or wearing a mask and not staying hydrated enough. Definitely an uptick in cavities, definitely an uptick in grinding. Some people during COVID took better care of themselves. Some people took worse care. People being home more probably changed their eating habits. And people, I noticed people were snacking more or enjoying it. Everyone was eating dried fruit. I don't know what's going on. Everyone having raisins, or I had a patient who was out in the Hamptons drinking apple cider because he lives near an apple cider mill and he knows the person, their neighbors, and they drop it off and he's drinking more apple cider. Now he had, I know, and now, you know, fresh apple cider is pretty delicious. I can agree. But, you know, he had a ton of cavities, which he hasn't had a cavity in 15 years. The effect of the change in the world had definitely had some effects. Like I said, some people took better care of themselves. Some people, as a result of the environment changing and life changing, had some bad issues. And the last thing is a psychological effect of people being on Zoom or being home more and being away from people. We're looking at themselves more than ever because now you're home in front of mirrors all day, right? And you're a year older. We're doing more whitenings. I can't even believe how many people are whitening their teeth. People are doing veneers. People are redoing their crowns. There are a ton of people redoing stuff to get ready for the world again, or also because they realize how unhappy their unattractive smile made them. People are definitely looser with, they're getting a lot of stuff done. It's amazing. Yeah. It's really great to make people feel better about themselves.
You do a lot of veneers. What are they, and who would need a veneer?
So a veneer and crowns are somewhat similar and they're somewhat different. Crown goes over your entire tooth, right? If I was making a crown on a single tooth, I would reduce your tooth by about a millimeter in all dimensions, the top, the sides, and the crown will go over the tooth. And that's done typically to reinforce a tooth because a lot of tooth structure is missing. It was broken or chipped or had a cavity and you need to reinforce the tooth. So a veneer was developed after crowns were. Crowns were developed in the 60s, 70s for the most part, really when the drills got advanced and better with the air turbine. And then veneer started in the 80s and 90s when we started getting a little better adhesive technology. So what I mean is that being able to take a piece of ceramic and bond it to your tooth, we realized we didn't need the entire reinforcing structure of the crown. We were able to be more conservative. What I mean by that is the veneer goes over part of the tooth, not the entire tooth. If I were to describe it the best way, is on a front tooth, we would reduce the face of it, the incisal edge, so the edge of it, and also a little bit on the sides. There are different approaches for a veneer. Some are more conservative, some are a little less conservative, but it goes over part of your tooth to change the color or the shape. Who would need it? Some people do veneers for cosmetic reasons, and some people benefit from veneers for functional reasons because, like I said, they had a lot of decay, chipped a tooth, a worn a tooth. The aesthetic purposes could be as simple as your teeth, again, are worn down, or they're the color itself of the tooth, like a tetracycline staining. There are some people with tetracycline that took this antibiotic when they were younger. These white blotches got into their teeth. So those people benefit from veneers because we're able to make the teeth look more monochromatic in a good way, but also, I mean, not to make it completely monochromatic, but less blotchy and such. Yeah. So people that benefit from veneers are people who want to change or improve the look of their teeth from a shape and color standpoint, and also people benefit from veneers that are chipped, worn, or have had, you know, decent amount of cavities in their teeth.
But there's an artistry to what you do.
It's like any cosmetic procedure. It's definitely the most artistic thing that I do because the challenge, and it's a really fun challenge, is to make this piece of porcelain look like it's not a piece of porcelain, right? Yeah. We have to make it fit biologically in the constraints of your mouth, your face, and also somehow make it match your personality. When you see someone on TV or in life and you say, oh, they have veneers. Well, yeah, they have veneers, but they've had veneers or crowns done probably not the best way possible. So, I mean, the color is too opaque, too white, or the shape is too big and bulky.
Too perfect. It can't be too perfect.
Right. It has to be real. So it's a really fun thing to do with people, is to be able to get to know them, you know, and know what their identity of self-beauty is. You know, we talk about biological proportions that exist in nature. Sunflowers and all different flowers have the same proportion, but they're all different. That's just like teeth. There are teeth that are square, there are teeth that are round, there are teeth that are a little strong, and teeth that are soft. So when you go through the, you identify that, yes, you're going to get veneers or crowns, and you're going to improve your smile. Let's take a step back and talk about what is your identity of self-beauty, because we need to make sure we get that right.
Do you get people who want to look like somebody else and you have to dissuade them from that? I know that's a crazy question.
Most people are pretty good. Most people have a pretty good idea of what an improvement will look like. And so they'll either want to look like a version of themselves that was previous to who they are now, younger, but maybe just a younger version. Their teeth are a little older looking, but definitely kind of famous people, movie stars is a common thing we'll get pictures of, which are very helpful actually. But sometimes people will want to go too far. Sometimes people will want to go beyond the biological limits of their self. So I could say, if to be dramatic, a 95-year-old person wants the whitest teeth possible, no matter what shape I make them, which texture and how perfect I make them fit them, the color is just going to stand out.
Yeah. Talk about teeth whitening, if you would. Should people refrain from getting their teeth whitened too often? Is there such a thing as that?
Yeah, there definitely is. With everything that we do, right? It could be too much is too much.
Sure,
you
sure.
Drink too much water. It's hard to define whitening too often, but so if we talk about whitening, there are two main approaches to whitening, either over-the-counter products or prescription strength. So someone could buy Crest White Strips, and those could be used more frequently. They don't have the same amount of effect as a professional prescription strength whitening solution. You know, I have plenty of patients that do an over-the-counter product, and they do it somewhat regularly, and that's probably okay to do that more regularly than a professional one, because you're not having the profound effect. Professional, I would prescribe a patient to whiten either in the office or at home. You can wear custom-made whitening trays with whitening gel that's prescription strength. You'd wear that for a week or two. In office, you'd have an appointment for an hour and a half and do it. So at that point, let's say you were finished, and you can touch up here and there every 6 to 12 months in a way is all you need to do to maintain that color. What you can result in if you get over-whitened is your teeth start to lose their luster, because the peroxide kind of breaks down that really nice crystalline structure a little bit, and your teeth will become matte, not shiny. So if you look in the mirror, your teeth have a nice amount of texture and light reflection. People can over-whiten and lose that ability.
Does that break down your teeth at all, or is it just really the luster that we're talking about?
We don't think that it really breaks down the crystalline structure dramatically. It has to do it on some level, right? It's hard to define it, because we aren't really testing it on people. It's a hard thing to test. We do find that people that over-whiten have a decreased bondability to their teeth, because the crystalline structure is not as intact.
Oh.
So if I were to do a filling or do a veneer on your tooth after whitening too much, the strength of that restoration would be decreased.
Segueing to implants, it's more mainstream, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
And
it's a very busy part of what we do.
Who would be a good implant candidate? And is there an age limit on that kind of thing?
Well, an implant is a solution for a missing tooth. So you can lose a tooth for a various amount of reasons. The most common two reasons is because of advanced gum disease or a large cavity that results in the tooth not being able to functionally being able to be restored. So for whatever reason, or of course, you can have an accident where you break a tooth, a vertical fracture in a tooth. There is a process that our body goes under sometimes, and rarely, but it happens to people, full resorption, and that's where your body dissolves your tooth. So those people end up, you know, losing that tooth. So you end up losing or missing a tooth or teeth in one area of your mouth. There is no age limit for dental implants. Luckily, the bone around our teeth, the jawbone, are not subject to the same physiological age as the long bones in our body. So as we get older, as you know, bones age also, and the cellular metabolism of those bones decrease. That's why the people take these medications to help to decrease the breakdown of their bones. Luckily, the jawbone is not subject to that same process of metabolism slowdown with age. So age is not a variable necessarily, as long as someone is physically healthy. enough to receive an implant. They can get it despite the age. I know I have a patient right now who's 97 getting an implant.
Oh, my goodness. Good for him or her. Excellent.
Oh, yeah, good for her. She's pretty cool. Wow. Yeah, she's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Now, how would you suggest that people care for their implants in the best way?
It's very much like you would your teeth, right? Flossing is the best way to clean between your teeth and also between your implants. So the only difference is when you're flossing, the technique requires a little more attention, because when you're flossing around an implant, you can actually go a little further along the tooth into the gum line than with the tooth. The tooth has a ligament attaching your tooth to the bone, and you kind of bottom out on that when you floss. The implant connected directly to the bone, the soft tissue, your gum tissue surrounds that, but there's no ligament space. So you can actually go a little further around that. Brushing, you know, typically keeping things clean. And I always like to caution all of my patients looking at the quality of the food they're eating from things being very, very hard and being careful, because that can lead to, you know, chips and things of anything, your tooth or an implant or anything else. But I just want to put out there that I don't think a lot of people understand, and it's even on their radar. When you go shopping for a pair of shoes or socks or a refrigerator or anything, you can essentially go online or go somewhere, and there's a large variety of things you can purchase for a single product. That is the same exact thing that happens in the world of medicine. So your orthopedic surgeon has a catalog of knee implants, and we have a catalog of dental implants. In our country, there are over 100 implants that are approved to be placed in people's mouth. And for us, we have a selection of what implants to make. And that implant means certain things in your mouth and your body. So what I mean by that is there's a quality and a price correlation for me. A single implant can cost $100 up to hundreds of dollars, just the implant component alone, not everything else around that. And so I want patients to understand that this should be part of the conversation they're having with their doctors. If they care to, if they care about the quality of the implant, they should talk to their doctors about what type of implant are you using and why. In the dental industry, there are what they call premium implants and budget implants. Of course, in the world, we have to have a variety of solutions, but the people who are discerning and people who care about what, you know, what happened to them, they should have a little bit of this conversation, look into it a bit to make sure that they're getting what they think they are.
Television commercials abound. People go in and they have implants in one day. And I'm thinking, what? Isn't it a many-week process?
It is still, even in that scenario, a many-week process. That is simply marketing. So what happens is what that person is leaving with on that day most frequently is a temporary. So this is done as a common thing with most surgeons and most restorative dentists, that there's opportunity when you lose a tooth or get an implant to put a temporary on the same day if there are some factors that allow that to happen. So it's a commonplace thing. It's just kind of like an advertising marketing thing that they say out there. So people are like, oh, great, I'm going to leave with my teeth in a day. In reality, they're leaving with a temporary that day. It's still taking months to heal. It's still taking months until they get their final solution.
Do you see a lot of people who grind their teeth?
More than ever.
You think it's COVID related, pandemic related?
Definitely think it's a stress thing. The world's not becoming less stressful. Our devices do not make things less stressful. And the world right now, the climate, the political situation, things are not less stressful for most people. So as stress increases, grinding is somehow correlated to that. We're not really sure what causes grinding and why people do it, but we do know that it's an energetic thing and it's somewhat tied. Like I said, we can see an increase in stress. Somehow it's correlated to your nervous system. You're deep down in there, it comes out. We can look at civilizations going back thousands of years, and we can see that there is an extensive amount of grind in people's teeth. It's not a new thing, but it is a very common thing. I feel like more people are doing it now.
And do you suggest wearing devices to keep you from grinding your teeth into little nubs?
Yeah, we definitely do. So there's a handful of ways to treat grinding. It's very important that you rule out sleep apnea before you think about having a night guard made or a day guard. So there are people who grind, there are people who clench. There are people who grind and clench during the night, or just grind or just clench. And there are people who do it as a habit during the day also. Before you get a night guard, you should rule out any type of sleep issue, right? That could deal with like a volume of space in your palate, tongue position, that could decrease the amount of air you're getting, or again, some central nervous system issues for sleep apnea. Let's say that's ruled out. Then aside from some mindfulness during the day or something like meditating before you go to bed, whatever techniques you can do to relax your system are helpful, but to actually protect your teeth and the bone of your jaw joint, your TMJ, or the musculature, A night guard is a great solution. I want to make sure that I stress that a night guard should be something that is typically hard and covers all of your teeth, upper or lower, not both, but it should be a hard device that is balanced by your dentist and made in a way that helps to function in a way that relaxes the musculature and the grindability. So a night guard could be made to protect your teeth, for one, right? Because people are grinding down their teeth, grinding out the enamel, getting to the dentin, the inner tooth structure. Mm. So we want to protect the teeth. The other thing we need to protect are two different things. They're muscles, right? So people who can suffer from what they think are migraines or chronic headaches could be simply from tendinitis in the muscles in their face that are related to grinding. The other thing is that overloading your jaw joint can lead to some breakdown in the cartilage in that jaw or just inflammation there, or also in severe cases, some degradation or breakdown of the bone itself. Our jaw is a class 3 lever, and we could exert a huge amount of force, different than a lot of muscles in our body that are class 2 levers. It's like a nutcracker in a sense, so the musculature can really chomp down on that. And that's why a soft night guard is not a night guard. That is a chewy toy for your teeth that will lead to more chewing. Oh. There are night guards that they make that are just for like the front of your mouth that just cover a few teeth. And those are really, really good for a week or two. They're like deprogramming type appliances or rescue appliances. And those night guards that only cover a few teeth should only be worn for a little while. And I'm saying a week or two, not more. And these are things that, like I said, should be made more custom to your mouth and balanced, because as you bite down right now, most of their teeth come together. If we change the way that happens for 8 hours a night, that may change the position of your teeth. Teeth respond to forces or the lack of forces. That's why orthodontia works. That's why braces work. They respond to forces. But the position of your teeth are balanced vertically by each other. As you bite down, your lips, your cheeks, your tongue balance the lateral position of your teeth. We remove something, search for force. If you have a soft night guard, the bites, the way they come together is not balanced. They kind of come together haphazardly, and also with a smaller night guard or day guard.
How about that? How about that? You're educating me. You know what I found helped me with teeth grinding was taking saunas.
They're pretty powerful. Dry sauna, there's a lot of research about dry saunas. I'm looking at getting one, actually. But, you know, if you really want to go for it, you should get a cold tank. You should walk out of the sauna and get a dip into like 50, yes. 55 degree water.
Oh, that would be fab. A plunge pool.
That's the move.
It sounds like what they do in Finland, right? They plunge, they go into the North Sea and take a plunge. Yeah.
Actually put a study out about people taking cold showers. They correlated for like a year. At the end of your shower, for 30 seconds, 60 seconds, 90 seconds, you turn your shower as cold as it gets versus a group that didn't do it. And they followed them for like a year. And they found that the people who ended their shower on cold water had less sick days, less health events than the population that did not do it.
I believe that.
Yeah, so that's a good treatment for grinding, actually. If you have some pain in your muscles from grinding, one of the best hacks is take a really hot compress. It could be like a potato. You microwave it to hold the heat, or something hot. Apply it to the muscles, just like you were in a sauna. And then, you know, for 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. And then immediately following, take something cold, ice packs, some frozen peas, apply it onto the muscles. Combination therapy. That really, really helps a lot of my patients.
Or take the potato into the sauna.
We have a snack too to keep you busy while you're there.
Well, you've been fun, but I have to ask you my favorite question, which I've been waiting to ask you. Why did you get into dentistry, of all things that you could have done?
I really found that I loved science and biology. I went to college pre-med thinking about orthopedic medicine. And at a certain point, I realized that half of my time as an orthopedist, my patients would be asleep. I really jive with the idea of helping people more interactively, tying my love for sciences, the world, for biology. But also, my mother was a nurse. My father's an engineer. So somehow I merged them all together. And I just love working autonomously in my own business, my own office. I love working with my team and people. I love people. And I love helping people get healthier, feel real connection with being able to get someone to live their life a little better. Maybe they're smiling more. And that, to me, is everything. If I can make someone go to their child's wedding, and when they smile for those pictures, they get that endorphin release instead of pulling their smile back, or if they're on a date or even if they're just laughing at their friend's joke at a dinner party, and they smile and laugh and they feel good. And I mean, the health benefits of that are profound.
And you're involved with the VA, aren't you? How did that come about?
Well, actually, did my residency at the Manhattan VA here in Manhattan. My residency in Propanonic, I spent 3 years there as a resident, and then I've continued to teach there afterwards. So it's a pretty cool place to be with veterans. I stopped teaching there during COVID because it just became a little more difficult. I had 2 little babies and stuff at home, so didn't want to really enter a hospital situation. So I had to get back on doing that. But just the ability to connect with people who are willing to sacrifice for our country and our freedom that we enjoy sometimes casually really meant a lot to me and still does.
Excellent. Hear, hear. Anything you want to add before we conclude?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, I would like people to make sure they get to their dentist to get taken care of. You know, ask questions to your dentist, make sure they're creating the environment that you feel comfortable in, and get there and get yourself taken care of. And I want to say, feel free, anyone can reach out to us too. I'm very happy if you email me, or you can find me on like Instagram, Dr. Raimondi, Raimondi, One Manhattan Dental. My partner is Mark Slafani. You can reach out to either one of us with any questions ever about anything. We can try to help. I really just want to help people take care of themselves, like I said. So get out there, go take care of yourself, smile, and let's get back to living life together, right?